I'm amazed at all the Olympic athletes. They're handing back their medals. They found out as cheats. Yeah, they've lost them. We're going to read about losing crowns in the scriptures in just a moment as we go on. And for the nations, we find that this will be on earth, and it will be centered in the city of Jerusalem. And the throne of David will be set up, a different throne to the throne of Christ, which will be in heaven after the rapture. And all the nations of the earth will be gathered. Yes, all nations will have to give an account. America, South America, Australia, England, whoever, India, they'll have to give an account before God. And we believe that they're going to have to give an account of how they've treated the Jewish people, particularly in the tribulation period. Anti-Semitism is the greatest sin on the face of the earth. In association with the rejection, of course, rejecting Christ is also anti-Semitism, is it not? The Western Church has failed by trying to make Jesus into a European. See the pictures from the medieval years. He looks like an Englishman or a German. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is a Jew. I am of the tribe of Judah. And he says that when he's resurrected. He's resurrected. Revelation at the end. The book of Revelation at the end. And then that's where we have Christ's brethren here. That's the nature of it. And then that's set up by the separating of the sheep and the goats. A very lovely illustration which I've seen overseas in the East. And of course the wicked dead. This is the great white throne judgment. At the end of the 1,000 years, all wicked dead will be raised. It will be after the millennium. And the books will be opened, and they will be judged according to their works. And they will be considered as Christ rejectors or God rejectors. And unfortunately, all doomed to die. Now let's have a look in our notes at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we're going to look at. Lovely picture there that portrays it. Here are some of the points that we'll just make a brief comment about. Number one, the review of the church in heaven. What is the Bema? Who will be there? What are we there for? What will be the outcome or outcomes? When will this judgment be? A few comments on the worship and judgment of the 24 elders. I hope we have time to go into that. If not, you can study this. And then point seven, the identity of the elders, the 24 elders, the worship of the 24 elders, and the work of the elders. So here we are. What is the Bema? This is the place of judgment. See, on the heading under the Bema, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 headings. Place, subject, time, nature, and results. We'll go through that now in relationship to the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians 5 verses 9 and 10 are the appropriate one. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10, which we'll read in just a moment, mentions the judgment seat of Christ or of God. What is it? It is the place of judgment. After the rapture, we believe that we are taken to the Father's house and a time comes for a review. And the Apostle Paul takes a very common custom, or one that the Corinthians, incidentally, 1 Corinthians 3, of course, is to the Corinthian believers, and one thing that they went almost every day, they went to Westfields every day. They went to the marketplace. All the words that they heard, all the words that were used in the gospel of Christ came from everyday words in New Testament times, including the word Bema, redemption, propitiation, justification, were words that they would hear every day in their common everyday. And this is why the Greek of the New Testament is called Koine Greek. It is the common Greek of the day. And the terms that the Apostle Paul uses, he doesn't go off to the philosophers or to theological colleges. He goes out into the neighborhood and he goes out into the marketplace and takes those words to explain the gospel. That's a separate study all on its own. It is the bema. It is an elongated dais, like a platform in Roman cities and in Greek cities for hearing judgments and rewarding the athletes from the games. And here's a picture of Corinth. Let me take you on a tour. This is a tour guide, won't cost you anything, this one. Here is the amphitheater, the stage there, and then they sit around and they're plays. That's the Odeon. Here's the temple of Octavia. This is the temple of Apollo. You've heard of Apollo, haven't you? Yeah, Apollo. Now this is the important one. See this grand area here called the Central Forum. This is the marketplace. This is the buzz center, central business district. And in this center, they would hear all the words that make up the gospel, redemption, propitiation, justification, and so on. But they'd hear it in common day language. But you can see it there, can't you? You can see the word bema. See the word bema? Yeah, there it is. There's the bema. That's the judgment seat where court was conducted and where the athletes were rewarded. You have that on page 8 in your notes that you can look at a little later. This is what it looks like as a reconstruction. Here is the Odeon. Here is the temple of Octavius. Here is the temple of Apollo. Here is the Agora, or the Agora, which is the marketplace. And then right in the marketplace, we have the bema there. That's the place. So the Apostle Paul said, Corinthians and Christians, we're all going to be standing there, but it's going to be in the glory, the judgment seat of Christ, in his presence. So he uses the common everyday language and common everyday events like the Lord Jesus Christ with his parables, and he says, we're all going to appear there. Of course, not in Corinth, but it's going to be in the glory. It's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. That's where it's going to be. Who will be there? Who will be there? Point number two, who will be there? Notice there, this is the subjects of the judgment. And we have a Bible quote there. We must all stand. That's from the Bible. We must all stand. I like that. The all-inclusive word, we. We. The Apostle Paul, writing these epistles, Sosthenes, who also wrote 1 Corinthians, and then 2 Corinthians, Timotheus also wrote the letter. And they included the word, we. We must all, not you must stand, which is true, but we must all stand. We'll stand before the Lord. So the Apostle Paul says, we're going there, and all Corinthian believers, the faithful and the unfaithful, we all will be there. Fancy saying that, brother, to the Corinthians. They had a lot of trouble. The Corinthians had carnality. Years ago, we did a study on 1 Corinthians in my local assembly, and I said, I better read through 1 Corinthians and find out how many problems they had in the church, and I counted 14 problems that Paul tried to solve. He did. And then he said, I'll sort out the rest when I come. So it's 14 plus. So here's these Corinthians, and he's saying, we must all stand, all of us. Faithful and unfaithful will arrive there. But of course, when we arrive there, there's some sorting out. There's some sorting out. There'll be those who will have great rewards, and there are those who will lose out. Lose out. In 1 Corinthians 3, in 2 Corinthians 5, we read that. And in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 to 15, we read about good works and useless works. And they're tested. See that point B? Carnal and spiritual believers, all mixed there together.